But you know what? I enjoy preaching. Hey, amen. I enjoy my pastor, Brother David McDonald. Would you welcome him as he comes?
Praise the Lord, everyone. What an exciting time we're having today in Uncasville. Praise God. God is so good, and we are so thrilled to be here. I was telling someone this morning that I refer to this church as a miracle church. Amen. It's a miracle that we have this building, but that's nothing compared to the miracles that are sitting in the pews today. God has done some tremendous things. Hallelujah. And we were not disappointed. We were looking forward to coming and seeing new folks and hearing. And God's just doing it. And you folks are just responding. Why don't we just clap our hands unto the Lord again? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And we love Brother and Sister Greeley and their family. We're so proud of them and their faithfulness to God. And amen. Their step of faith and coming here and reaching out just over and over again. It's just so, so beautiful. These are awesome people. Amen. If this is your first time today, amen, and you're looking for a miracle, you've come to the right spot because He's here. Hallelujah. God is here today. Praise the Lord. And I encourage you to get to know these folks. I encourage you to hear their testimonies and just dig into the Word and learn all you can about our God who is alive. Our God is alive. His Word is alive. His Spirit is alive. He wants to do something among us today. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 1. Verse number 15, 16, and 17. Amen. Paul is after his second missionary journey. He's been arrested. He's in a prison in Rome. And he's not thinking about himself. He's thinking about the saints, the churches that he started. And he's wanting information about them. And so when he would get a report from one of these churches, he would write a letter. And so there are four epistles or letters, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and Philemon. These are called prison epistles or prison letters because he was in prison when he was writing to them. And so he hears about the report on Ephesus. And this is what he says in chapter 1, verse 15. Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. And this is his prayer, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. How many want to know more about Him today? Oh, let's lift our hands and tell Him that right now. Lord, we want to draw close to You. We want to be more like You today. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. You may be seated today. Amen. Hallelujah. Paul reads or hears the testimony. Amen. The messenger who has come to give a report on the church at Ephesus. He had been there in the first missionary journey. He stayed in Ephesus for a couple years in the second missionary journey, established a church there, and now it's been about 6 years since he left. He's anxious. And he says, since I've heard, he said, I've heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus. And I've heard of your love for all the saints. I'm thanking God for you. Hallelujah. He knew that in order to overcome spiritual darkness, in order to fulfill God's purpose in their life, they needed a growing knowledge of the Lord. They needed to understand Him in a way that he didn't know before. Amen. And so he's saying, I'm writing to you to remind you, amen, that where you are, you've got got a faith in the Lord Jesus, and where you are, you got a love for all the saints. That's great. But there's more. Everybody say, there's more. Hallelujah. God's Word, amen, is living and powerful, and He wants us to know Him in a way we've never known before. Hallelujah. But it's easy just to settle back and say, well, I know a little bit about God. That's all I need. Amen. Let me give an example. Years ago, there was a man by the name of William Randolph Hearst, who was a millionaire, multimillionaire, and he invested a fortune in collecting art treasures from around the world. And stories say that every other month he'd take all the paintings and take the sculptures and take all the artifacts from around the world, very, very expensive. And he'd have everybody wrap them up and put them in the warehouse, and he'd grab some more because he had a huge warehouse full of them. And every other month his house would have a totally different look, with all these different paintings and artifacts. And he just loved it. Money wasn't anything. But one day, he read about a particular art treasure, a particular item that intrigued him. And I don't know if I've ever heard of that before. And he'd wake up in the middle of the night thinking about it. He'd go about his daily job or whatever he was doing, running a business, and he'd be always in the back of his mind. And he said, I gotta have that. And so he hired an investigator. He hired somebody to search, amen, an agent to go to the Middle East, and he said, I want you to find it. I don't care what the cost is. I want you to search till you find it, and then I want you to buy it, and I want you to bring it to me. I want it here in my study. And so for months, this agent searched for this artifact. Thank you, brother. And for months, he looked for it, and finally, he gave a report to Mr. Hearst, and he said, I have found the treasure that you're looking for. He goes, great, where was it? It's sitting in your warehouse. With all the other treasures that you've had for so long. Amen. You've been frantically searching for treasures that you already own. Hallelujah. Folks, if you can learn, if you can understand what God has in store for us today. Hallelujah. Eye has not seen, nor ear has heard. Neither hath it entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them today. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, let's just thank the Lord right now. Let's just worship the Lord right now. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And Paul is writing to the church in Ephesus, and he said, I understand that the faith toward God, and I understand your love toward all the saints are indicators of spiritual maturity, and I realize you're living a balanced life. You have a vertical connection with God, and you've got a horizontal connection with people, and I'm so thankful, Brother Greeley, I see that here. Hallelujah. We've got people that are tapping into what God has, and we've got people that are connecting with each other. That's maturity. That's growth. That's God's church. Hallelujah. But then he said that these are indicators of spiritual maturity. Amen. And you're overcoming one day at a time. But he said, let me remind you, or let me caution you, don't settle for that, because there's more. That's just the start. Hallelujah. Amen. There's a spiritual perception, and there's an understanding that if you can get a hold of this, the riches in Christ Jesus, if you can ever really understand the power of God that's available, if you can ever comprehend the love of God that's for you, hallelujah, it will make you an overcomer, and not just an overcomer, but more than conquerors. Hallelujah. And so he says, well, before we get into that, let me just take some time and let me just remind you of what you already know. I just want to remind you. Amen. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse number 4, notice what he said. Even before he made the world, he loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. Amen. Sister Greeley tapped into this today. You've been chosen. Everybody say, chosen. Hallelujah. Turn to your neighbor and say, you've been chosen. Amen. Point your bony finger at somebody and say, you've been chosen. Hallelujah. God knows who you are. God knows your name today. And He chose you. Out of the world's population of 8 billion, 43 million, you're the one that heard the message of salvation. You're the one that's obeyed the gospel. You're the one that can claim, I am a child of God. Hallelujah. The one true living God loves you and He chose you. You are His. Don't let the devil or anyone else tell you you're just a nobody, or that you don't matter, or that God could never love you. That is a lie. Hallelujah. Peter said it this way in 1 Peter 2, 9 and 10, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness. Our brother talked about it in prayer today. He's called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. We once were not a people, but now we're the people of God. Hallelujah. We hadn't obtained mercy, but now we have obtained mercy. Hallelujah. Why? Because He chose you and He loves you. Oh, He deserves some praise. Would you do that right now? Hallelujah, hallelujah. Remember Joseph in the Old Testament? Amen. You read the scriptures of all that happened to him and you wonder what kept him going. Amen. He was sold by his brothers to slave traders and then lied about and forgotten. How in the world was he able to get through all that? I believe one of the reasons was because he knew from the beginning, I've been chosen. I was chosen by God. He gave me a dream. I was chosen by Potiphar to oversee his household. I was chosen by the jailer to run the jail. I was chosen by Pharaoh to be second in command over all Egypt. Hallelujah. Why did all of them choose him? Because he had been chosen by God. He had the favor of God on his life. Hallelujah. And that same God is pouring his favor out on us today. Hallelujah. He loves you and He's chosen you to be holy without fault in His sight. Chosen. Second thing he talks about in Ephesians chapter 1 is verse 5 and 6. God decided in advance to adopt us into His family by bringing us to Himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. So we praise God for the glorious grace he's poured out on us who belong to his dear son. Hallelujah. Everybody say, I'm adopted. Amen. We belong in the family of God today. Paul's day, what he was referring to is that wealthy men who had no children, they had no heirs. Many times they would choose to adopt one of their slaves or to become their heir, and they would give him a new name and they would give him a good education and all the benefits that come with being a son. And amen. And then one day he would take it all over and keep the business going and keep the family name going. And that's exactly what Jesus has done to each and every one of us today. Amen. He's given us a new name. Hallelujah. We're educated in the Word. We're filled with the Spirit. Hallelujah. And we belong. There was a little girl that was caught up in the foster care. And she was adopted by a family, but she never really belonged. Whenever they went on vacation, they would leave her with someone for those 1 or 2 weeks. Because they were afraid that she create a scene and embarrass them. And she when she knew it was coming, she would act up even more. Because she knew how unfair it was. And she's so hurt. She was being rejected again. And finally, one day, this family that had adopted her dissolved the adoption. She found herself in the foster system again until another family adopted her. And when they learned a little bit about her history, they decided, we're all going to go to Disney World. And so she was excited. They were excited. But they could tell that as the closer they got to the date, that she started acting up. She started doing things and saying things that hadn't come out before. And they were wondering what in the world was going on. And finally, Dad had enough and he pulled her aside and said, I don't know what's happening. I don't know what's going on. Can you talk to me? What's bothering you? And she said, I know what's going to happen. You're not going to take me to Disney World, are you? Amen. And suddenly he realizes why she's acting the way she is. Amen. She knew she couldn't be good enough to be included in the past. She had tried and she had failed. And so she assumed that's what was going to happen here. And her anger, she acted out her anger inappropriately. And it dawned on Dad, I've got to convince her, amen, that this is a different situation. And this is a different family. And he said to her, didn't I say that this was a family trip? And she said, yes. And aren't you part of our family? And she said, yes. Amen. And then he said, you're going with us. Amen. We're not leaving you behind. We are going together as a family because you belong. Hallelujah. You belong. Praise the Lord. And so they got on the plane and they flew down to Florida and they had a great time that first day. She saw the motel room was awesome and started going on the rides and the sights, and it was just more than she could ever imagine. And that night, amen, there was a very different girl that got ready for bed. And as she laid in that bed and Dad came to pray with each of the kids, amen, she said to him, amen, Daddy, I got to go to Disney World today. But it wasn't because I was good. It was because I'm yours. It's not because of what I did. It's I'm yours. Hallelujah. Amen. Don't let the devil convince you that you don't deserve God's love. Don't let someone tell you that you're not good enough to be forgiven. Amen. You're not good enough to be washed of your sins, to be set free of addictions, to be filled with the Holy Spirit. It's all a lie. You're a part of the greatest family in eternity. It's the family of God. We've got His name applied to our life. You belong! You belong! You belong! Oh, let's clap our hands unto Him. Praise the Lord. Praise God. And so Paul was writing to the Ephesians and saying, I don't ever want you to forget it. You know this. I've taught it to you. You've sung about it. You know it. You've shared it with other people. But then he goes on. He said there's something else. In 1:7, he says, in Him we have redemption through His blood. The forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. He said, you're redeemed. Hallelujah. Amen. You've been purchased. You've been bought. Amen. Not with money, not with someone's position or status, but through the blood. Hallelujah. Of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. You are no longer what you used to be. Amen. We're a new creature in Christ Jesus. We're redeemed. Hallelujah. Back then, a slave could be adopted and claim the family name and benefits, but there'd always be somebody, amen, that would remind him of his past. I know who you are. Amen. You might have a different name. You might be wearing different clothes. You might be living in a different house. But you're just a slave. Once a slave, always a slave. And the devil tries the same tactics today. Hallelujah. But when he comes against you, you need to remind him. Hallelujah. I'm redeemed. Hallelujah. I am free from the past. My sins are forgiven. My past is covered by the blood of Christ. I'm not what I used to be. And the Lord willing, I'm not what I'm going to be. Hallelujah. Because I've been redeemed. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, I see it happening here in this church. Hallelujah. Amen. You're not nowhere near what you've been, what you used to be. Hallelujah. But every day, every week, every month, every year, you're starting to grow and become more what He wants you to be. Hallelujah. Oh, why? Because I am redeemed. Old things are passed away. All things become new. Finally, in Ephesians 1:12,
Now, I say finally because it's not that I'm done preaching yet. It's just that it's just this part of it. But finally, he says in verse 12 of chapter 1, God's purpose was that we Jews who were the first to trust in Christ would bring praise and glory to God. And now you Gentiles have also heard the truth, the good news that God saves you. Amen. And when you believed in Christ, he identified with you as his own by giving you the Holy Spirit, which he promised long ago. Amen. The Spirit is God's guarantee that he will give us everything he promised and that he's purchased us to be his own people. This is just one more reason for us to praise our glorious God. Amen. He said Ephesians. Amen. He's saying, folks, today in 2023, you've been given an inheritance. Amen. I saw a cartoon of a family sitting in a lawyer's office listening to the will being read. And this is what the will said. The lawyer tried to keep a straight face. But it said, being of sound body and mind, I spent it all. I spent it all. And they walked out of that office shocked and upset. I can't believe that I spent it all. Amen. Well, I love what Warren Wiersbe said. When Jesus wrote his last will and testament, he made it possible for us to share his spiritual riches. Instead of spending it all, Jesus paid it all. He wrote us into the will, and then he died so his will could be enforced. Then he rose again from the dead that he might be the heavenly advocate or the lawyer to make sure the terms of the will were followed and we receive our inheritance. Hallelujah. That's our God today. Hallelujah. Amen. You have an inheritance. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You're chosen. You're redeemed. You have an inheritance. Hallelujah. But he said, then he says this. I love it. He says, and when I remind you of that, and I've heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, you know all what I just told you. I'm just reminding you. I've heard of your love for all the saints. He said, now I'm beginning to pray for you. Now I'm getting on my hands and knees and beseeching God. I can't walk and pray very much because it's a small cell. But since I heard that, since I've reminded you of that, and you know that, and you're sharing that with other people, now I'm starting to pray for you. And this is what I'm praying. Hallelujah. I'm not praying for you have better health. And I'm not praying that you'll have more money or job connections or overcome family problems or have a peace during world crises. No, no. He says, I'm praying that you'll receive the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Hallelujah. He says, oh, what you got is awesome, but there's more. Hallelujah. Oh, what you've read and what you understand is awesome, but there's more. Hallelujah. I'm praying you get spiritual wisdom. I'm praying you get revelation that you know who Jesus is. Hallelujah. You know the riches that are available. You know the love that he has for you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You see, why would he say that? Because spiritual growth doesn't simply come because of knowledge. One thing to know about God, it's one thing to grasp the wonderful truth of the mighty God in Christ and to realize what Christ did on Calvary and to explain the wonders of the gospel message. And we just went over some of those benefits of salvation. Amen. We have to learn those. We have to embrace those. But there's so much more. Hallelujah. And sadly, many Christians today settle for just knowing about God. And then applying their own reasoning and their own understanding to the decisions they have to make in life. I don't know how many times I've had somebody come to me and they're asking for my advice. And really what they want is my approval. They want me to say, oh, that's a great idea. Go ahead and do that, you see. And we'll talk for a while and then I'll say, well, have you prayed about it? Well, no, that's why I'm coming to you. I want you to pray about it, and I want you to do that. I talked to someone recently, you know, and down the road we're gonna retire, and she says, I don't know, Brother McDonald, if I'm gonna feel comfortable, you know, you're of that age. And I said, I know, I'm old, I know that, but I don't know if I can go to him. And I said to her, I don't say this to everybody, but I said to her, well, what difference will it make? You never listen to what I say either. And she thought for a minute and said, you're right. Yeah, you're right. There's so much more in the Word of God. There's so much more about what God has for us. Hallelujah. And this Word can become alive. And His Spirit starts to lead us and guide us. It's more than what's going on in the surface. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God's the depths and the riches. Hallelujah. The knowledge of God that's there today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. That's why Solomon says, amen, in Proverbs 3 and verse 5, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He'll direct your path. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Oh, it's important that you follow the Scripture, the authority that's in your life. They'll lead you, they'll guide you. I'm so thankful, I'm so proud, I'm so excited for the leadership you have here. You will not go wrong to allow them to speak into your life. Amen. But you got to get to the point where you say, I can't rely on somebody else. Give it to me myself, oh Lord. I can't just follow the guidelines of the church. Brand them in my heart. Hallelujah. I can't just do it because someone told me. I got to dig it out for the Word of God. I got to realize that God's Word is real. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my Word will never pass away. And when you get it on the inside, hallelujah, it makes all the difference in the world. Hallelujah. God wants you to be an overcomer. But we can't overcome just by what I think or by what I feel or by my abilities. We need spiritual wisdom and revelation. Amen. Anybody know what I'm talking about today? Some of you do. And He wants all of us to have that today. Well, what is that? You're talking about spiritual wisdom. It's a special God-given insight into situations of life. The wisdom of God enables you to know what to do and how to do it. Amen. And people will say, well, man, how did you know? Well, it wasn't me. It was God that directed me and God led me because I sought Him and I prayed and I fasted. I got advice from my counsel. I poured myself into the Word. I let the Word wash my heart and my mind, and suddenly the answer came to me. Hallelujah. Because God is leading and God is directing. Hallelujah. Amen. This is far greater than common sense or an educated guess. It's direction and insight from the One who is both omnipotent and omniscient. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, He wants to give it to you today. And James said it this way in James 1 and verse number 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, ask of God. You need to go to the leadership. You need to go to folks that you trust to get their advice. And again, I don't know anything about this, brother, but let me just say, amen, if you got a problem, amen, there's a guy in our church that was having marital problems, so he went to talk to Uncle John. That's made up name, so nobody will figure out who I'm talking about. But he went to Uncle John to ask marital advice. Problem is, Uncle John's been married and divorced 4 times. Why would you go to that person for advice on marriage? You need to find a godly couple that's lived for a while in the church and following the Scriptures, and they love each other. Amen. That's the people you need to go through for advice. But you also need to hide His Word in our hearts so that we can do that. Amen. That's spiritual wisdom. If any of you lack wisdom, let them ask of God, who gives to all liberally without reproach, and it will be given to him. Everybody say spiritual wisdom. Oh, we need it today. And then he says revelation.
revelation. This is something that's been veiled or hidden for a long time. And then suddenly, almost instantaneously, it becomes clear and visible to our heart, to our mind. Let me give you an example. Years ago, I went with a friend of mine, with Mark Cottrell from Indiana and his son. We went to Tanzania to preach a crusade. And the missionary had been my pastor in Torrington years ago. I was very comfortable with them. And we were in their home. And then we traveled to Iringa. We had marvelous services. The Spirit of God moved. And folks were, the devils were cast out of folks. And people were healed. And people received the Holy Ghost. It's just a miracle. Amen. And so then on the way home, Brother Ward, the missionary, got malaria. And I had the privilege of sharing a bed with him while he had malaria, because there was no other room and no other bed. And he'd go from sweating profusely to freezing. And sometimes he'd be coherent and sometimes he'd be out of it. And so we're preaching, we're doing all this. And then finally we get in the car and we had made arrangements. It's about a 6-hour drive from Iringa back to his house. And about halfway there was a game reserve. And we had reserved some rooms and reserved a guide. And we got there late afternoon, early evening. And Brother Ward went straight to bed. And we said, before we eat, can we drive around a little bit? Sure. So we drove around just a little bit. It was getting dark. And saw a few things. But went back to the resort and had something to eat. And we're going to crash. We're going to get up and go on this safari tomorrow. And I remember Brother Cottrell's son saying, oh, I hope we see some animals tomorrow. We're at a game reserve. More than likely we're going to. But I haven't seen much. I haven't seen any. I don't know what's going to happen. Don't worry, son. It's going to be okay. We went to bed. Got up in the morning. And the first thing I did was I went over to the window and I threw back the curtain. And as the sunlight came in, there was a tree right in front of my window, and there was other trees in front of his window. And there was a monkey on the branch eating a banana right in front of that window. You know, and he I don't know who was more surprised, him or me. And he looks in the window and kind of goes. And I'm like. And then over a few trees later, there's all these beautiful birds. And there were, you could hear the chirping. And then down, we were like a hill going down and pretty steep. But there was kind of levels. And on the first level, there were some giraffes that were walking by. And their head was probably right about this level to me. And they kind of looked. And then you look down the hill even farther. And in the tall grass, there's some elephants that are there. And down farther, amen, you see in this marshy area, there's some water buffaloes and other animals we couldn't make out. And all of a sudden, I heard Brother Cottrell's son holler, all right, this is going to be a good day. Now, why am I telling you that story? Because we knew, we surmised, we'd been promised that they were out there. But we hadn't seen anything. But the moment that we pulled back the curtain and saw what was there all along, but we just hadn't seen it for ourselves. The moment we pulled back the curtain and saw it, that's revelation. That's revelation. And what God wants to do for you. Oh, somebody gets this today. Amen. You can read the word and you just read the word and you read the word. And all of a sudden one day, boom. The truths of God's word just leap out at you. And that scripture makes sense like it never did before. And Paul said, that's what I'm praying for. That's what I want. I want you to have spiritual wisdom, but I want you to get revelation. Hallelujah. So this word becomes alive in your heart. You see things you never saw before. Amen. You understand things that were always there, but it was somewhat murky. But the curse curtain has been pulled aside. And suddenly you know who Jesus is. Suddenly you understand the power that's available. Suddenly you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that He loves me. I'm learning the depth and the length and the breadth and the height of the love of God. And nothing can separate me from that love. You can hear me say it. You can hear Pastor say it. But the day when the curtain is open, amen, it's going to keep you through every trial. It's going to keep you through every temptation. Hallelujah. Why? Because I'm chosen. He loves me. And there's power available. Oh, let's thank Him today for what He's doing to us. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I failed to grab the book. I was going to bring a book on the history of Pentecost in the United States. And it's called United We Stand. And in the book, it was about 1911. The Holy Ghost was poured out. The first part of 1900 in Azusa Street in Topeka, Kansas. And there were some Trinitarian pastors that had the Holy Ghost, but they were very much against the oneness and very much against Jesus' name baptism. And this man who had been a superintendent of the Assemblies of God, but he began to see something and felt something and he'd resigned. And now he's writing an article and he's trying to share with them. Amen. The marvelous truth. I see it. Hallelujah. It's been in the book of Acts all along. And my brothers have seen it. The curtain's been open for them. But the day that I saw it, hallelujah, God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself. Hallelujah. And on and on and on. And then he talks about, amen, the day I saw I'm not to be baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. I'm to be baptized in the name. Hallelujah. It's the name that's above every name. It's the name, hallelujah, by which you're called. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name, hallelujah. How many know what that name is? Hallelujah. Our sister's going to be buried in the name of Jesus today. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And this man of God, this man that has been so educated and been a leader in the Assemblies of God denomination. Hallelujah. He can hardly even take his pen and write. He talks about how he'd write a little bit and he'd throw his pen down and lift his hands in the air. He'd write a little bit more and he'd get up and do a little jig. Hallelujah. He'd write a little more and just weep and cry. Why? Because the curtain had been open. And this truth was real. It was alive. Revelation had come into a knowledge of Him. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, folks, have you felt that way? Hallelujah. Has that happened to you? Hallelujah. I want it to be more, amen, than just what my church believes. It's got to be more than just what my pastor teaches. It's got to be more than what my parents or my spouse understands. I got to get my own revelation. I've got to get, amen, an understanding of the Scriptures and let it burn into my heart and my mind. It's not new. It's been revealed back in the book of Acts. It was revealed in the 1900s. Oh God, pull the curtain back. Oh God, let me see it for myself. Hallelujah. I feel very strongly right now. I'm talking to someone here today. It's time to remember who you are in Jesus Christ and the blessings that you have from Him. You may be overwhelmed with a situation in your life. You may be hurting, hallelujah, amen, because of physical or mental or verbal abuse. You may be discouraged by the actions of unsaved spouse or children or family. You may be convinced that your situation, whatever it is, it's hopeless. But it's time to remember the blessings of our Lord. It's time to proclaim who we really are in Him. Hallelujah. Regardless of the circumstances, you are a child of the King. You are a saint of the living God. You have royal blood flowing through your veins. Hallelujah. And with that comes blessings and riches that this world can't offer and no amount of money can buy. Hallelujah. Oh, let me read it again. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse number 18 and 19. I'm praying. This is what he says. He says, I'm praying the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know, not surmise, not hope, but know what's the hope of his calling. And know what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints are. Amen. To know what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. The exceeding greatness of his power. Now I'm convinced, I just from experience, that there are a lot of people that have heard about this. But either they've convinced themselves or someone has said to them, well, that's good about them, but that don't apply to you. You see, I remember years ago when Billy Cole was in Ethiopia, 75,000 people got the Holy Ghost and they had ledger after ledger with the names, the addresses of the people and who brought them and who prayed them through to the Holy Ghost. And there were still people that said, no, I don't believe it. And when they were shown all the proof, this is what they said. Well, it might work in Ethiopia, but it would never work here. That's a lie from the pits of hell. And you folks are proving that it's false. Hallelujah. It's going to happen. Why? Because of the exceeding greatness of God's mighty power. Now David used the heavens to talk about the power of God in creation. Notice in Psalms 19 verse 1, the heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament showeth his handiwork. You ever go out in the country somewhere? And we were camping out in Idaho. And I mean, there was no light around. It was just the stars. And you look up in those stars. It's just like they're coming down on you. It's just amazing. It's just awesome. Amen. But we know, science tells us that with the naked eye, we can see about 7,000 stars. Amen. I'm going to take the word for it. I've never counted them, okay? But 7,000 stars. But with technology advancing our vision, we understand that in our galaxy, just one galaxy, the Milky Way, there's over 110 billion stars is what they're estimating. That's the exceeding greatness of our God, the power of our God. He threw them in space and he calls them by name. Hallelujah. Astronomer Edwin Hubble calculated that there are as many galaxies outside of the Milky Way as there are stars in the Milky Way. That's mind-boggling. We see the exceeding greatness of God's power as our focus is upward, skyward. But there's another dimension. Hallelujah, of God's exceeding power that we see even here today. It's the story of redemption. And it reveals the exceeding greatness of God's power to usward who believe. His power is not just in the heavens, but it's to usward who believe. Hallelujah. Sister, you're going to get baptized today. And when you go down in that water in Jesus' name, when you come out, those sins are going to be washed away. Hallelujah. Why? Nothing can remove our sins but the exceeding greatness of His power. Hallelujah. He'll fill you with the Holy Ghost. There's no disease or sickness He can't heal. He can solve any problem that you have. He can man your family or whatever the situation. Why? Because His exceeding greatness power is toward us word today. Hallelujah. When He created the universe, all He had to do was speak.
But to redeem us, he had to do much more. Hebrews tells us this in chapter 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Hallelujah. Who for the joy that was set before him, he had to endure the cross, but he did it. He had to despise the shame that he did it. He was buried in the tomb. He rose again victorious, and he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. That's the position of power. That's the position of authority. He says, all power has been given unto me. Amen. A seemingly endless universe is a demonstration of God's creative power, but an empty tomb and filled pews, hallelujah, are a demonstration of God's redemption power. Hallelujah. Oh, we ought to praise him right now. We ought to give him glory right now. You're here today because of the power of God that's been reached out to us. Hallelujah. Us word who believe. And we need a revelation. I'm almost done. Musicians, if you want to come, we need a revelation of the resurrecting power of God that's available. Lord, open our spiritual eyes. Oh, help us to understand. Hallelujah. Amen. Because of God's resurrection power, you can believe that God can save your family. God can save church members or co-workers. God can save friends no matter how far they are from God, because of the resurrection power of God that's pointed to us for today, we can claim and believe that God, amen, his perfect peace will fill our hearts and minds, and we can fight off the depression or fight off the despair that so easily comes upon us. Because of God's resurrecting power, we can live our lives believing God can restore and God can renew my marriage in my home. Hallelujah. Because of God's resurrection power, we can face each day knowing God can rescue me from any addiction, rescue me from anything that my past has caused me to be bound to. He is the God that's forever, ever. Hallelujah. He's the God that's all powerful today. Oh, we need a revelation. We need a revelation of the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe. It's not time to be haphazard in our devotions. It's not time to go through the motions of worship. It's not time to let others distract you from your service to God. Amen. If you've got a simple faith in the Lord, and you got a love for brethren, that's awesome. I commend you. I'm thrilled to see the maturity in your life. Hallelujah. But Paul says, I'm praying that you get more. More. Lord, give me the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Lord, enlighten my eyes of understanding. Help me to claim the exceeding greatness of your power as directed to me today. Say, what does that mean? Well, it simply means this morning you can receive a healing. Anybody believe that today? This morning you can be filled with the Holy Ghost, just like people are receiving the Holy Ghost the last few weeks. Amen. This morning your prayer can be answered. Hallelujah. Because the exceeding greatness of his power is in this place right now. Would you bow your heads? Would you close your eyes? Why don't we stand to our feet? Oh, God, we need you right now. Lord, there's some folks that are here for the first time and they have really no idea what's going on. Hallelujah. But I know that they can sense your spirit. I know they understand something's happening. Open their spiritual eyes right now. Give them an insight into the revelation and wisdom of you, and let them, Lord, respond to your word right now. There are some that have come for quite a while, and yet they're bound by a lie. They're bound by, well, that might happen to other people, but it couldn't happen to me. Oh, Lord, give them revelation right now. Let them realize it can be you.
He's not willing that any should perish, but all come to repentance. Hallelujah. The promise of the Holy Ghost is unto you and your children and all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And He's calling us today. Hallelujah. Does anybody feel His presence? Does anybody want to come to the front believing? Hallelujah. Let's come and pray. Amen. Bring someone with you. I don't know exactly what you do when you have altar service here, but let's do it right now. Hallelujah. Lord, open our eyes. Lord, let us get a hold.